Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A queen of local news in Los Angeles retired last month. Beverly White has been a local reporter in Los Angeles for just over 3 decades. In addition to her own reporting, she's renowned as a great mentor and model for those entering journalism. She received a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2018 from the National Association of Black Journalists for her years of work, and she joins us now to talk about her career and the role of local news. Beverly, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Deepa, for the acknowledgement and the recognition of my retirement. It feels good.
Let's start at the very beginning. I'd love to know about little Beverly White and why she chose TV journalism, because, I mean, we all know, Beverly, that there were pitifully few African-Americans on TV news. What made you think, I can be a TV reporter?
Well, it didn't happen when I was little Beverly White, that's for sure. I had my revelation at university. I attended UT in Austin, but I think the seeds were planted by my family. My parents did not go to college, but they're very literate and kept magazines around the house all the time and newspapers. Plus, the TV was always on, mostly newscasts when they were available. You know, It was pre-24-hour news cycle when I was a kid, but we would line up as a family to watch Walter Cronkite and others. My parents felt current events were bread and butter, that we all had to stay on top of issues, not just civil rights, but the world at large. And because my father was a soldier, my mother worked in public schools as a cafeteria lady, they were big believers in knowing what was going on around us.
Let's jump to you coming to Los Angeles as a reporter in 1992. Now, this was just after the Rodney King uprising. What was it like for you at that point in the local news scene?
Well, the news space was somewhat lonely for me, but I dove in quickly as a general assignments reporter. That's what we do. I think a day or two of orientation and then off to the races, and realizing quickly that there were not a lot of African-Americans on TV in local news in LA at the time. They'd gone for 7 years without a Black woman on television at the station that hired me, KNBC. So I feel like I jumped into a void and was promptly put to work, which I appreciated, coming from Miami, with all the same issues I found upon arrival in LA. Race, culture, drugs, crime, weather, it's all here. And I've been fulfilled beyond my wildest dreams, chasing stories in the city of angels, where sometimes the devils also present themselves.
And maybe let's talk about that a little bit, because I feel like, especially, say, when we think about the Rodney King uprising, jump all the way forward to 2020 and the racial justice uprisings, there are certain media tropes or stereotypes about Black people rising up or protesting. And I wonder how you felt sent out to cover some of these things.
It was overwhelming because the protests had value and merit, and these voices wanted to be heard. Some were loud, some were subtle, but everybody upon arrival would see a TV crew like me and my photographer, for instance, and present themselves right away. Like, I've got a story to tell. You look like me. Help me put it out there. My sister. I would get that a lot. And the embrace from the African-American community and later the community at large, I think, really informed my exploration of Southern California. But you're right. Post-Rodney King, I think, inspired the bosses to bring me on board. They told me during the interview process, we don't have a lot of Black folks in the streets. Maybe we can break through and do better, deeper journalism if we hire more folks who look like you and are willing to help us help LA get to know herself better.
A really pioneering moment. You know, Los Angeles has its sunny, glitterly, glamorous Hollywood side. But then there's also the dose of reality, the gritty streets, the LA noir, the family struggling just to make ends meet in very poorly resourced parts of town. You chose the night shift for your entire career in Los Angeles. Why?
I've always believed that the better stories tend to happen after sundown. It's true. You do get crime and crazy folks. And you mentioned noir, which really is a thing in Southern California. But I also find, you know, fewer bosses, more newscasts, and in my humble opinion, the potential for deeper, better stories.
And some of those voices, Beverly, that you prioritized, and these are folks whose voices we don't really hear often, even now. Why did you really go after just the regular folks and make them be the expert on whatever you were talking to them about?
I consider it a great blessing and a calling, providing a platform for, like you described, the voices that aren't often heard. And these voices resonate with me because I'm not from a college-educated background. I have a degree, but I'm the first in my family to do so. My dad was a soldier. My mother worked in the cafeterias at the public schools. So diversity is not just race and gender. It's also class and station. And I think I bring a different voice, not the only one, of the working class.
And you're known by most Angelenos, which is so remarkable. You know, I just want to ask you very quickly, though. You, in your years, your three decades of reporting, must have seen the role of women change in TV news. Tell me about that.
Oh, absolutely. I was hired by a female news director, a wonderful woman. So I hope I've inspired a few, as she inspired me. But I've also had opportunities that weren't available to other women in previous generations. It's been told to me by my former coworkers in Miami, for instance. I went to cover a vigil, and after the community responded to the vigil, it was for a drug dealer, and he was beloved. And during the observance for his killing at the hands of police, it evolved into a riot. Not a civil disturbance, just a straight-up riot, a spontaneous act of violence across several city blocks. And when I returned to the newsroom, the women with whom I was working met me with a round of applause. And I couldn't understand why. They said, no, you're the first one we've had in this newsroom cover a disturbance like that, a straight-up riot from start to finish, because it evolved around me. Typically, women were not assigned to those stories. And this really wasn't that long ago. We're talking maybe 1990. That was one of those scenarios where the ladies in the newsroom made it clear upon my return. They hadn't been allowed to do that. And once I did, it was a breakthrough for everybody. In recent days, I noticed just a good look around. I think as I was leaving the newsroom, all the women, the females in executive positions, running things, making important decisions, I'm delighted to be a witness to the change.
I want to get you to look forward for us because, you know, you've been in local news for so many years and we've seen both print and broadcast shrinking in recent years. What do you see as the future of news journalism?
Oh my, that is an ambitious question. I'll take a humble stab at it by saying I have great hope. Of course, the delivery systems are changing, but as long as we have not only dedicated journalists who have the training, the chops, the experience, research, writing, and just staying up on events and not being afraid of our communities that we cover, I think that's a tremendous start. I think TV news and print journalism will always have a place, and I'm proud to have been a part of it for as long as it lasted for me, a total of 41 years to be exact.
So Los Angeles is sprawling in many ways. Its citizens don't have a shared identity. You know, the 5-county region is as big as some countries. I wonder if you can tell us how you thought about covering the region when you're in a place where many people on one side of the freeway are unfamiliar with the communities just on the other side. How did you bridge that gap?
Well, every day is different. I'd be lying if I say we achieved that lofty goal on a consistent basis, but the effort was always there. I think my willingness to introduce my community to other parts of the community came through in my coverage. I tried to make every single story as diverse as possible, and voices, input on camera, obviously, from people you might not see otherwise. I'd make the extra step to try and include people who look like me and look like folks who aren't often on television, because it's not just trauma and tragedy. We've all got opinions about inflation and the economy and climate change. Given a chance, I try to get those voices in my stories all the time. And I think that gave me a passport to the 5 counties you mentioned.
And that is great advice for all of us who do this on a daily basis to stay focused on as we keep making news. Beverly, good luck in your retirement. I hope you enjoy your time off. We've been talking with Beverly White, longtime NBC news reporter in Los Angeles, who's just retired. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you, Deepa. Stay safe.